And let's do it live.
Doing it live.
Doing it live. All right. Here we are. Design Huddle. Two great topics today. We're talking about the very, very popular trend of Zoom fatigue. This is so real. So we'll talk a little bit about the implications of doing as much video chatting as a lot of people are, especially designers during this pandemic. And then we also are going to revisit the Nike hands-free Go FlyEase trainers, one of the coolest shoe designs we've seen in recent memory that basically enables someone to slip on a pair of Nikes, or I guess like in the UK, don't you guys call them Nikes?
Well, it should be Nike because it's like from the Greek goddess Nike, right? So Nike is actually the right pronunciation, but the British
feel like
being,
I feel like my British friends call it Nikes.
We call it Nikes because we're, you know, we invented English. That's basically if you look at the historical thing, it's Nike swoosh, like the goddess of speed or fertility or sports, whatever. So it should be Nike, really. But so we're both wrong.
All right. Well, the first topic I think is very timely, very relevant. Basically, this comes from Stanford. The title is called Stanford Researchers Identify Four Causes for Zoom Fatigue and Their Simple Fixes. Zoom fatigue, you could basically apply to any video chat fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the world has moved fully remote, fully digital. No surprise here that there's negative repercussions from sitting down and staring at a screen all day. So a little bit to me when I first saw this was obviously, but I actually think the breakdown is very thoughtful. So Mustafa, what do you think?
So this was done by Stanford University or Stanford College, depending on which country. Again, you say potato, I say tomato. And so they did the study just to figure out what Zoom exhaustion is, or basically video conferencing exhaustion, because people for the last year have been working from home, have talked about being really tired. And there's an element of guilt attributed to that, because like we're working from home and we're like, well, surely we shouldn't be tired. But is this an excuse? Like, what's going on here? So they looked to explore what's going on, and they found like four reasons as to what this fatigue is causing this. And so like reason number one, excessive amount of close-up eye contact is highly intensive. So if you're continuously staring at people like face to face and you're trying to make eye contact, in the real world, we take breaks. Unless you're in love with someone, you just continue to stare at them. Or if you're being a bit weird, but like in the real world, you do like naturally move away and sort of remove that. But if you start moving your eye contact away from the camera, you just think, oh my God, that's really rude. This person is just like looking, oh, this conversation is boring. So because of the intensity, that's going to tire you out over time. And you're constantly doing this throughout the course of the day. And it's really unnatural just to continually stare. And we all do this, like we always nod. Just again, it's like trying to create these new social cues to encourage the person to make them feel like, yeah, I am listening, I'm looking, you know. And you look into the camera, even though the camera is not often like, you know, lined up with the screen, and it's a bit weird. The second reason is seeing yourself constantly is quite like tiring. And again, I think that comes down to you're becoming really self-conscious about the way you look, about, you know, how you're reacting or responding to the person. You may exaggerate.
Yeah, imagine staring at a mirror all day, right?
Yeah, I do that anyway, but, you know, because I'm so vain. We all doing this, right? I mean, and that cognitive load is like, you know, constantly checking yourself. And making you self-conscious, and at the same time you're trying to concentrate what's going on in the meeting, which may be some really impactful, important decisions which are being made. And so the overload on the brain is going to be intense naturally. The third thing that they bring up is video chats will reduce your mobility. And so a friend of mine who's been on Twitter, Todd Motto, he's like a popular engineer, he's been going on how he's lost like so much weight over lockdown, because he saw pictures of himself going into lockdown, and then he's like, nah, this is not how I want to be. And so he does like exercising, like doing mud runs, as he calls them, basically in the countryside, running on mud in the middle of the night. And he's lost a lot of weight, and he's just saying, I have so much energy. So the opposite is also true. Like the more sluggish you get, the less healthy, you're going to feel much more tired. And again, this contributes to the first two. I mean, I'm just rattling through these. I mean, have you got anything to add to any of this?
No, I mean, I think we should identify the problems. So far, the first three, let's just one. We'll tie it up real quick. The fourth one's the cognitive load.
Yeah.
Is much higher in video chats. That, I mean, this makes total sense, right? Where it's basically like face-to-face interactions, nonverbal communication is, you know, it's quite natural. But in video chats, we have to work harder to send and receive signals. So you have to, it takes a lot more mental energy to like show that you're listening and you're being an active listener and like, you know, you're being an active participant in the conversation. So all four of these, you know, spot on, totally agree. Excessive amounts. So just like real quick, my initial take, excessive amounts of close-up eye contact is highly intensive. I find this very true. I have a large monitor. I also think that's so my camera's in the middle, so I'm constantly moving back and forth, and I'm worried that people are taking me not looking directly at the camera as like, you know, I'm not paying attention or something along the lines, and we're constantly multitasking. So I think that's very real. The seeing yourself during video chats, I think that is very true.
Yeah.
I think that's nice that in certain video conference applications you're smaller, so you don't have to focus on yourself, but the presentation, if someone's screen sharing or the rest of the audience is the focal point, which I actually really like. I think that's a good design decision.
Well, they in the article for Stanford, they do actually, for each one of these points, they do offer solutions, and a lot of it is like,
well, what are we doing? Let's do the solutions.
Yeah, no, they actually did exactly what you recommend, what you suggested, and like changing the interface. So like solution number one is like, you know, recommend taking Zoom out of full screen mode. So then it's like, you know, you're reducing the amount of video screen and then maybe focusing on an activity.
I don't think I've ever done, I never do video conferences in full screen, ever. Even before, you know, the pandemic, I've always have multiple windows, like one usually to take notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like, I think that's a relatable, but I think from, I mean, do you use full screen for video chat?
It depends on like, so sometimes we do stand-ups where the whole point is us just having a chat, and maybe we might play a word game. Like a friend of ours created a progressive web app word game where it's kind of like, what do they call it? You have to draw, basically you have to draw something and the rest of the team has to guess what the word is. It's actually really, really cool. It's quite funny as well. And cause like you're trying to draw with a mouse and it's just hilarious. And so in those kind of things, either you'll have the drawing game will be full screen, or like when we're just doing the initial, hey, how's everyone doing? Is everyone cool? Whatever. That will be full screen. Also, we've been exploring like design sprints remote, and so you have things like jam boards or like using slide decks where people are just adding, like drawing sketches, taking photographs and putting them into the decks themselves or like Google Slides. So then the focus isn't looking or staring, people staring at you. So that's been pretty cool. So that's like one of the solutions. The second one is recommend the platform's change the thought practice of beaming video to both self and others when really the others are what's the most important. And that your view.
So the second one, was seeing yourself too much is fatiguing, and basically the suggestion is hide yourself.
Yeah. So but what you suggested, like making yourself really, really small or at least invisible. The only danger I have there is sometimes when you zone out in a meeting and you start checking your phone. Or like you might play Angry Birds or whatever, but you put yourself on mute just to be sly. You want to make sure that no one notices. So I suppose you could just switch your camera off as well. That's one. That's one option. So another solution is that recommending people think more about the room that they're conferencing in. This is again about reduced mobility. So I've seen people will put cameras further away, or they might use a treadmill. Again, I mean, this is kind of like means. It depends. What would be interesting if you could create a, you know, like you have the beer hats that they have in America where you, during games of like bath, whatever.
Yeah, you put two, like beers. Two cans in, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a design. Again, this is all about finding the right product will solve the design solution. But if you could actually have the phone mounted, you could walk around your house and still have like a video conference chat because it would be looking right at you, although you would look a bit like a Dalek. But yeah, so basically reduce mobility.
The moving background would always also be like distracting too, right? So it's like, yeah, I don't know. But I get what you're saying. That would be...
It'll be like, you know, the music videos where they try to get the image of the person's like high or stoned or whatever. And like the background moves at a different pace or a different time to your head.
Yeah,
So yeah,
you know what's funny is I'm watching Breaking Bad, and there's a scene when they're like, you know, like there's a party at one, you know, one of the main characters' house, and that's the view that they have is like very close up on their face. So
yeah,
it's like a
and
very
the
cool
background.
cinematography style.
Yeah, I saw it in I think it's like Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, where he gambles the final bit of money and he loses, and then it's like he's walking out the gambling joint, and it's like that realization that he owes a lot of money now that he didn't want to owe. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's that kind of distorted. What have I done? The final solution is for cognitive load.
Right.
The last one is for the cognitive load is much higher in video chats. It's like giving audio only breaks. This is actually quite clever, where you don't show your camera at all. You just speak as if you're on the phone, and that way it allows you to perhaps like take like if you were to get a video call on your phone, and you could like walk around the kitchen, and like you're like removing this kind of stationary state. And so you're not, you know, smothered with gestures and like, you know, perceptively realistic but socially meaningless nodding and shaking and, you know, sending emojis or whatever. So, you know, I think these are good like tips that people can actually do. And I think especially the mobility one, like I start using a standing desk more now, like
Yeah,
sitting
I mean
down the entire drive is
for
terrible.
me, the number one thing is that you need to own your day. Like I think taking breaks between calls is the best thing, and then just walking around, even if it's just to like get a glass of water or changing up to a different room, I think is so beneficial.
Yeah.
And something that's not listed here, I just think there's such inherent value in going outside,
Yeah.
fresh air, getting whether regardless of the weather, just getting outside and trying to just like, you know, get some cold air in your face in the winter, I think is super, super
Or
helpful.
just
But
sunlight, vitamin D is like we've
sunlight,
seen
yeah, I mean.
people getting in the UK reporting a huge vitamin D deficiency, and there was a study I think I was done that showed that more vitamin D was good as a combatant to COVID. Again, we're not doctors here, so we're not like reading Facebook posts and go, well, we reckon what you need to be drinking. But now vitamin D deficiency is a thing, and it's mostly getting from the sun. People try to boost up with like supplements and stuff, but yeah, you need sunlight, like not just from the window, being outside. I remember when my son was born, like I think jaundice is a thing. Basically, it's like not enough vitamin D. It's like a yellow in the
Yeah.
skin. And the nurse was like saying, look, even if you're just 15 minutes near the window, just getting direct sunlight actually will help
Help,
hugely.
yeah.
So I think this is, yeah. So even if you've got a garden, a balcony, just walking out in the street, just go, if you can get a takeaway cup of tea or coffee, just 5 minutes down the road, walk back and forth, like you really need it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I think these are like these tips are great. I mean, a lot of them might seem obvious, but I think people sharing and kind of acknowledging that there's a problem too is like half the battle. This isn't going anywhere. So I think we live in a world where we're going to be spending more times, you know, spending on video chat, and hopefully less as the world slowly gets back to a more normal schedule. So yeah, I think the Stanford article is interesting because they have actually data to back it up. I think the insights are fair, and it was very relatable. I mean, if you don't have a desk job and you can just mostly do your own thing, you kind of have your own schedule. But you know, 6 hours straight on VCs is mentally draining for
Yeah,
anyone, and
absolutely.
for your mental health, it's important to just, as we mentioned, take a break, step outside, get some fresh air.
Well, we do that in office environment. That's what's weird. It's like you're less reluctant to do it at home, but more reluctant, like more common to it. Like, you know, who wants to go to the kitchen? You actually create those social moments. We actually will do this, but because you're not around anyone, there's guilt that you think, oh, you're not doing work because you're at home or whatever. So you're more likely to work for longer hours to make up for your inability to concentrate. So yeah, I mean, I would recommend everyone to try some of these tips. We need to try ourselves. And yeah.
Yeah, those are brilliant. So that was the first portion, Zoom fatigue. The other one, totally transitioning to very cool topic, Nike's new hands-free FlyEase trainers. So if you haven't seen these, really cool design. So everyone knows Nike. They released their laceless Nike Go FlyEase trainers, which can be put on and taken off without using your hands.
That's amazing.
They called laces antiquated, which I thought was like so funny and like very Nike that like laces are now outdated.
Can you tie laces? Because I can't. I can't. I try.
Yeah, so no, it's actually really interesting. So everything was rooted in the design here was rooted in accessibility, which I think is just incredible. So there's a quote here from Nike's design lead. So I'm just going to read it real quick. Shoes for a long time have been a bit antiquated in the way that we undo laces, then lace them up. This is more of a modern, more elegant way to get in and out of your shoes. It's way easier. You don't even have to think about it. And if you're listening, the shoe basically goes into, think of it like a, almost like an A shape, or a V, an upside down V, but an A is the best way of thinking about it. You place your foot in similar to like, if you're putting your foot into like a high heel, and then you press down. The motion to me, if you've ever been skiing or snowboarding, is kind of like strapping in your boots.
Yeah.
That's like the motion that reminds, me the most.
What reminded me of is like Back to the Future. Like, you know, those magical trainers that we wanted that self-tying laces. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Did you know that Nike actually made a version of those? The ones that you can...
Really?
Yeah. We'll have to do like a recap on it. It's incredible. They're so cool. You hit a button and then they like auto lace.
But the thing is, if the button was in the sole, this design with that, you won't even have to put... You just put your foot in, it's like... Vroom.
Yeah, that would be cool. So there was one other interesting thing that I wanted to...
Accessibility.
Yeah, I mean, the accessibility thing is huge, right? So if you're, I don't know, there's a lot of different use cases for people that aren't able to tie their shoes. You would be able to slip in and have these and be able to take them off by just, you ever, after a long day, you don't feel like undoing your shoes. So you just do the... Put your one, the side of your foot on the back heel.
Step on one.
Step on one.
Well, what do you mean? That's what I do every day.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, the design team was probably like, does anybody else take their shoes off like this?
Let's
design a shoe to basically, accommodate for everybody else like that.
But that's ergonomics, right? You're designing around the people, right? And their actions. It's like, because I think IKEA did this design where they found, when they tried to make a wireless charging, they thought, where should we put this wireless charger? And they watched, they do a lot of ethnographic studies where they sit in someone's house on a high chair and just watch how people move. And they found that people put their phone next to the bed, bed dresser or little tables that people have in their bedrooms.
Yeah.
So I thought, make the wireless charger in the little cupboard near people's beds, because that's naturally where people are placing their phone. So again, this is like, you're looking at how people behave and you're customizing the design to suit the patterns rather than forcing people to learn a new pattern.
Yeah, I mean, that's so it's funny, like very related is that when the Nike design team was thinking about this, the idea was like, when you think about accessibility, you think of it as like anybody universally can use it. Like we think about that all the time for website accessibility, right? How can it be accessible to anyone and everyone? So the team basically went with that mindset. We want an everyday shoe, but it can be used by a broad range of people. So they wanted the design problem or prompt was, how can we create the most universal shoe ever? So they basically created some personas. Then the design lead mentions that it was for women that were going through pregnancies, to an athlete who doesn't have hands, to a busy mom, to even a lazy husband who doesn't want to walk the dog. So they're literally just typing. I don't know, that last one doesn't really resonate with me, but...
that's the only one that resonates with me.
All right. Well, another episode in the books. Thanks, everyone, for joining. If you haven't done yet, go follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And tune in every Monday for new episodes of Design Huddle. Thanks, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Design Huddle. The opinions expressed are solely our own and do not express the views or opinions of our employer.